ready for this? You sure? Then do me a favor. Don't miss.
Because I'm not spending the rest of my life with some tube coming out of my mouth because you morons can't shoot. So let's do this together.
Something different here?
No.
I just want to make sure there's no one else left for you to kill.
Just you and me.
I've seen a lot of crazy people before, but this dude is in a class by himself.
Who is it?
Nobody. It's,
Hi, Martin Riggs. I'm sure you've heard a lot about me.
Not a word. We're about to have dinner. Would you like to come in?
No, Riggs? He can't. He can't. He got stuff he got to do.
Come on.
No.
I mean, it does smell good.
Oh, it tastes even better.
So, do you have any kids, Martin?
I do not.
But you're married.
If you ask me to change.
Not anymore. She passed away.
I'm sorry, Martin.
I don't know if I can.
She was a good one. Gave me something to live for.
I need you to be honest with me. Do you think Riggs is dangerous?
Very.
Put your hands in the air!
What? I didn't kill him.
This man is out of his mind. Be safe out there.
Always.
What the hell did this guy do?
We questioned him. The guy fled, so we followed him at a safe distance.
And then he pulled a gun on us.
Yes, right. And he pulled a gun.
What am I going to do?
You
are 50 years old, Murtaugh, and still only a detective.
I like solving cases, not kissing asses.
Hello and welcome to Remote Control here on the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm, of course, TF2 and Mike. Joining me is DJ Valentine from Simplistic Reviews. Hello, sir.
I promise, no matter what happens after this debate, not to accept the result. Oh, wait, that's something else. I'm sorry.
Dude, you missed your line.
What was my line?
I'm getting too old for this shit.
Oh. I'm sorry. I'll go back. I'll get my Danny Glover on. Hold on. Here we go. Clear my throat, because the key to a good Danny Glover is the loud whisper, which is, I'm getting too old for this shit. You gotta yell and whisper at the same time. It's very tricky. You have to yell and whisper. It's really tough.
That man must have either smoked a lot of cigarettes or drank a lot of whiskey at the same time as he was smoking the cigarettes, because his voice, goddamn, oh boy.
If you cut me, I'll kill you.
You know what the sad thing is after the original Lethal Weapon 1, after the original movie, it's like, hey, why is Murtaugh in Angels in the Outfield?
I liked him in Switchback, starring him and Dennis Quaid. But that five people have seen. But yes, Angels in the Outfield is as a baseball manager, who again is yell whispering the whole time, we gotta get a pitch in there. Call up the reliever.
Oh god. And then to compound it all, you have Gary Busey in Rookie of the Year.
I can't take Gary Busey seriously in anything. All I keep remembering him in is with Danny Glover in Predator 2, where he's like, the lions, the tigers, the bears, oh my. The fucking alien. That guy, he's awesome. He was awesome in the past, and now he's just nutbags. So yeah.
Yeah, he's I think his best stuff recently are the Amazon Fire ads.
Oh yeah, when he's talking to a lamp or whatever the hell he's doing. Turn on remote control.
Yeah. My name is Gary Busey, and I want to be able to control my TV. Yeah. All right, folks. This is Remote Control. We are here to talk about television. We're doing a whole new thing here on Remote Control. We used to have finishing finales and pilot premieres, where the pilot premiere, we would just talk about the premiere episode and the finishing finales. If we actually finish watching a season of television of whatever show it is, we will talk about the whole thing. Well, I'm doing something new now. We're going to call it Take 5. My good buddy Mike Powers, Mike Booth Ninja Powers from Off the Cuff and The Lunch Table and all that other stuff that he used to do. He's one of the main hosts over in Altered Geek with Steve. He has this rule of give a television show 5 episodes. If you don't like it or if you do like it before or just after that 5th episode, you can either continue it or not continue it. So we're going to call this Take 5, and hopefully the artwork will reflect a classic game show, because as soon as I decided to call it Take 5, the first thing I thought of was Alex Trebek, Classic Concentration, The Green and Red Tape.
7 people remember that show. I am one of those 7.
Oh, come on! So wait, there are 5 other people besides
us? Yes, there's 5 other people. One is not Alex Trebek, ironically.
Oh, come on.
He forgot that part of his life. He only knows Jeopardy now.
Well, so I knew the red take and the green take were a thing on the show, and I'm sitting here because I wanted to show Steve, because Steve said he was going to make up artwork for these Take 5 episodes, and I Twittered him and I said, okay, look, I have an idea for this graphically for an inclusion. He's like, all right, cool. This morning, like right before we recorded this, I'm on YouTube searching Classic Concentration episodes to try to find out when the take started. So I'm watching this and I'm like, oh my god, I so remember this and all these crazy stupid puzzles.
I remember all I remember is the puzzles. And I was like, oh, I think I'm smart because I'm answering before these people on the show. And then I realized, no, these are dumb people and I was only a child. So anybody with any type of brain would have gotten these.
Yeah. But no, So we are here. We're here to talk about a new show this year on the Fox Network. You know, the people that brought you The Simpsons and Married with Children and
Sleepy Hollow and Dollhouse and Firefly and
Please don't mention Firefly. The audience will be in an uproar. Oh my god, we want that show back.
Round codes.
It's not happening, people. So, all right, let's see here. I've got to try to compose myself. There's just too much.
Oh, sorry. I'll bring it down. I'll get real. I'll put on my NPR voice right now. Here it is.
Oh, God, don't do that. So, before we start this out, as I said, this is going to be a new show that Fox premiered this fall. But before we start this out, I feel like it's only necessary for us to give our opinions on television remakes, reboots, and resets. So what is your opinion on a TV network going in and saying, hey, we're going to take this that existed as a movie franchise, turn it into a TV show, and see if you people who love the movie franchise like what we're doing now. So what is your general opinion of when Hollywood does the whole, we're going to make a TV series out of this movie?
We're not talking about Lethal Weapon yet, but I'd say in general, I think you got to get the right people behind it, because for every, let's say, Minority Report, there is a Hannibal. I mean, there's times where movies have been translated to television, like Fargo, and it's worked out really, really well. Sometimes there's times where there's a Rush Hour that translates to television really, really poorly. And I think it's all dependent on the people. If you take it serious and you get behind it and you understand the material that you're adapting, you can do it. You can, especially if you're picking the right project. Some things, because Fargo is almost like a fairy tale kind of, almost like a grim fairy tale, it lends itself to an anthology. certain movies do not lend themselves to television, period, like a Rush Hour or a or a Minority Report. Those do not lend themselves to television, to me, in my opinion.
You know, every time anybody mentions the Rush Hour movies to me, all as I think of, no, seriously, all as I think of is, you don't know nothing about no war. So all I can think of is Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan trying to sing the Edwin Starr song War. And the funny thing about that is one of my favorite rock bands currently, Southern rock bands, they're actually from here in Edmonton, not here, I'm in Louisville, but they're from Edmonton, Kentucky, called Blackstone Cherry. They did a cover of War, and usually when they do the covers on their albums, they put them as like the last track or the one of the they put this at track 6, and I just looked at it, I'm like, okay, cool. I assumed it, before I heard it, I was like, all right, cool. They got a song named War. Cool. I wasn't even thinking of the Edwin Starr song at all. And I'm sitting here listening to their new album titled Kentucky. It's kind of on the nose, but whatever. That's what it's called. And by the time track 5 ends and track 6 begins, I'm like, hey, wait, what? A cover already? What's going on here? I didn't dislike it, but as soon as I heard it, I'm like, okay, YouTube. Rush Hour, War.
You had to scratch that itch.
This is what I think of when I
I gotta watch it now. I gotta watch the whole scene now. I think that movie was kind of a lightning in a bottle situation. So to take that lightning and then spread it out over 3 movies and now spread out over a television show with less talented people in it, especially there is no other Jackie Chan. There's only one. So
You know that they do, the Hollywood has done this not just with movies to TV, they've done it with movies. You look at, and this is going to be horrible, and I know you're just going to love this, that it's so horrible. You look at either Cruel Intentions with Sarah Michelle Gellar and Ryan Phillippe.
Selma Blair and Sean Patrick Flynn.
Witherspoon, all that. You look at that movie, and then you look at Wild Things with Kevin Bacon and blah, 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 blah. You look at those two films, both of those original films, each have a sequel and a third movie.
Exactly. Wild Things might be worse. Different cast. I've seen the sequels to Wild Things, and those movies are just like... See, Wild Things, again, it was only kind of popular because of the... Well, it's a menage a trois with Denise. I mean, that's kind of what the big thing of that movie was that I remember when it came out. That was like, everybody said like a secret corner. Like, hey, you seen Wild Things yet? You saw Dennis? That's essentially what it was. But it wasn't like the story was, man, this was the greatest tale I've ever heard. Yeah. It just warrants itself to be stretched out. No.
And the sad thing is, you know, you say menage a trois with Denise Richards. All I can think of is a menage a trois with Christmas Jones and Julia
Matt
from
Dillon.
Party of Five.
Matt Dillon, the other Dillon.
I think the only other Matt Dillon movie I've ever seen him in.
He's seen Something About Mary. He's the creepy detective and.
It's been a long time since I've seen that movie. The only thing I remember about that movie is what all the promotions wanted us to remember.
And don't zip your pants up too fast.
Yeah. All right. So my opinion in general on, you know, when people want to take TV series and make movies out of them or vice versa, it depends on what it is, and it depends. I can't talk today. Like you said, it depends on how it's done and who they get to do it. There are certain things like 10 Things I Hate About You is one of my favorite films because it was the first film I had ever seen Heath Ledger. I think it was the second film I saw Julia Stiles.
Save the Last Dance was number one.
Could be
right,
wrong.
Right.
Might have been the first one. I don't know. Okay, there you go. But 10 Things I Hate About You did not need a TV series, and that was one that got a TV series. I was just like, oh God, really? Let's flash back 29, because next year is 30, though. 29 years ago, 1987, In 1987, we had one of the best blockbuster action movies come out, entitled Lethal Weapon, directed by Richard Donner. I guess you could say created slash written by Shane Black. Right. I don't know, whatever. I assume he was the writer on it. Did you see this? Because for me, it's one of those things where my mom let me watch anything.
I didn't have as progressive a parent as you, but I did. I did see this, and our show, we did a commentary track on it, because me and Justin, we kind of grew up on Lethal Weapon. We're big fans of Shane Black and the Dick Donner Lethal Weapon. So, yes, I did grow up on some hard Riggs and Murtaugh action.
Right. They had four movies. Everybody wanted a fifth one, but it was pretty much done at four, because most of the movies that started in the 80s that went into the 90s, they didn't, like Lethal Weapon 3 and 4, I still love all four of the movies, but I see the third and fourth movie as more of a character progression than anything else. Like, you're not going to have the same, you still have action in both those movies, but it's more of a character thing as they go along, you know. I mean, I love them. I love all four Lethal Weapon movies. There's not, I think two would probably
really?
Be one
okay.
that I
all right.
watch the least, maybe. It's not that it, yeah, well, it's not that I don't like it. It's just that
I've had you're mad because of the, you don't watch it because of the internet? Is that why? The internet made you not like Lethal Weapon
2? Something like that. So, Fox this year debuted in the fall this new television season, Lethal Weapon, and it's based on, you know, the film series by Shane Black. What I find interesting in looking through some of the credits on this, not the cast credits, but the production credits.
Yes, you do.
You've
Tell
got
me McGee more.
McGee attached to this thing. The only other that thing I remember McGee from is Fastlane.
Oh, Fastlane with Bill Bellamy and
Fastlane.
Fake Tom Cruise. What's his name? Peter Facinelli. Supernova.
Peter Facinelli.
Yeah. I remember Fastlane. It was like kind of like the late 90s Miami Vice.
The sad thing is it was the early 2000s Miami Vice, because it
felt like it was the 90s because it was just so like cheesy is the word. I don't know. Yeah. Just overly stylized. Like, oh, okay. It wasn't. I watched every episode. <It's>
just... Yeah. You know what the sad thing is? Every time anyone anywhere online mentions Striper, the first thing I go to is YouTube, Jay Moore, Striper. And it's got him singing, gotta be strong, gotta keep the... It's like, oh, God. All right, so Fox has gone and done it. They've created a Lethal Weapon television series loosely based off the film series. It is not the same cast. It is a different story direction, but they take liberties and insert various plot elements,
right,
or character elements, I should say, into each of the characters. This new yes. series stars...
Yes, he does.
Homie the Clown. That's pretty much all I can say, because I mean, really, it's Homie the Clown, because everybody else other than Jordana Brewster are all new people to me. Like, I've never seen Clayne Crawford. I've seen stuff that I've known of stuff that he's in, but Clayne Crawford plays Riggs. Damon Wayans, as I said, Homie the Clown plays Murtaugh. you got Jordana Brewster.
She's playing Robert Zemeckis' ex-wife's role from the Lethal Weapon series, the shrink.
Yeah. I almost wish they would have brought her back.
The only carryover is the shrink.
I would have loved
shrink.
To have seen this version of Riggs mess with Dr. Stephanie. you've got Keisha Sharp as Roger's wife, Trish. You've got Kevin Rann as Captain Brooks Avery, and a bunch of other people. They do bring in various things like Murtaugh's kids, Murtaugh's retirement, except here in his retirement.
I'm getting too old for this shit, Riggs.
The line. You know, they give him a purpose of why he was supposed to retire or whatever. He had a heart attack and blah, 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 blah. He is still 50 years old. So, his wife looks a hell of a lot younger. Like she doesn't look like she's in her 20s, but maybe late 30s, early 40s. So maybe there's
black don't crack. So what is 15 year difference there? Attributed. I mean, I can. I'm 73 years old. I look like I'm 22. So hey, I'm black. I can say it. Black don't crack.
He said it, folks, not me. And he's well, you may okay. I am gonna make this joke now since you mentioned Sean Patrick Thomas earlier.
Hey, what the hell are you doing here? I got this. Guy. This is all get out of here. There's a party down the street. This is all me. I make the party cool. Get out of here.
This is not another teen movie, folks. Oh shit. So, I go to watch the trailer for the new Lethal Weapon, and I didn't, like, I wasn't as turned off as, I'm one of those people that I will, for me personally, I have to make a judgment on whether I'm going to enjoy it or not off of the trailer. Movie trailers, television trailers, they're advertisements, folks. They're supposed to get you into or out of the thing. They're supposed to give you an idea of whether you're going to want to watch it or not. And I didn't even really look at too much information about it at first. I just watched the trailer. I'm like, okay, other than the fact that it's Damon Wayans and he's mostly known for comedy, it wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad trailer. And after watching the first episode, I'm like, okay, cool. I kind of like this. And of course...
Okay, excuse me, mate. Get on rant here. here's the problem I have with Lethal Weapon series, as I was saying before.
Uh-oh.
Aside from the fact that you shouldn't be making a Lethal Weapon series to begin with, but if you do, do your fucking homework and understand what the Lethal Weapon films did. Don't just download a Lethal Weapon font and use the IMDb summary page as cliff notes in writing your show. The Lethal Weapon film started off, as you know, dark. Dark, and it got progressively slapsticky, granted. However, the best Lethal Weapons are the one where that properly balanced the humor, the brutal action, and the dramatic tension. And that's what Lethal Weapon 1 and 2 are. This show is clearly following, as you said earlier, 4. It's not following 1 and 2, which leaves us with a product that is tonally, to me, all over the place and devoid of like any stakes or sense of dread or dramatic tension. And the worst part, the saddest thing of the show is how much they get the titular character wrong. And the titular character is supposed to be Riggs. Lethal Weapon is Riggs. The original film is talking about Riggs. Now we have a Lethal Weapon show without a Lethal Weapon. Best thing about Riggs in the movies is not his one-liners or his shabbiness. It's that switch. And you know the switch I'm talking about. That switch we don't see, but we know is there through his eyes where he's like looking at you. You don't know the knowledge that this guy at a drop of a fucking dime will just go insane and kill everyone in the room. A literal Lethal Weapon. A man who goes through McAllister's men in Lethal Weapon 1 and goes, who's fucking next? That's the Lethal Weapon I wanted. And what we have, I mean, in Lethal Weapon 2, he's shooting a guy in the stomach while mentally screaming out the names of his fallen comrades, like 1,000 times. This is a murderer, a guy who put his badge in the glove compartment and call, I'm not a cop tonight, Raj. That's Riggs. This guy is not, Clayne, whatever his name is, the guy from Rectify, he's not really Riggs to me. One, he's not scary at all. He does not scare me in the least bit. He's essentially just a fuck-up, a bum, a cop that's no better at his job than Andy Samberg in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He's not really like, I don't see any moment where I think this guy is going to kill everyone. I think this guy is going to cause a problem, like, you know, fuck a case up or something, but I don't think he's going to murder anybody, except for that one scene in the bank in the pilot. That was the only Riggs moment we've gotten from this show that I remember so far. Movie Riggs would put his badge away. He wouldn't care about the cops. He doesn't. He would. He ripped down a fucking building with his truck. Riggs lets Roger Murtaugh punch him in the face and walk away. That's not Riggs to me. That's like a cop show, but they put the Lethal Weapon like sheen on it. And you don't need, if you're going to make this as a cop show and remove the Lethal Weapon machine, I think it works better. But to tell me that this is Lethal Weapon, it's not Lethal Weapon to me. It's just like, you know, antiseptic Lethal Weapon. It's not, I don't feel any, I mean, the one thing you talked about online is you said that they have camaraderie. And they do. They have chemistry. When they're joking around and when they're dealing with suspects, it's probably the only time I really like them. Mm-hmm. I need this guy who I can't remember his damn name, Clayne Clifton or something. I need Clayne Crawford. I need him, or at least have an episode where he just goes through people. And I know this is network television, which I hate because they are limited in what they can do violence wise, other than Hannibal. Have him just go. Where's the target practice scene? Where's the main bad guy where he has to. The cops surround Murtaugh's house and they have a fight to the death on the front lawn. Where's that stuff? That's Lethal Weapon to me.
Yeah, and I do agree with you to a certain point.
Right.
Again, we're only five episodes. They have one chance, though.
That last episode five, which is, I think, the best episode of the season. The only problem is they kind of went the opposite direction, because this guy who I thought they were setting up, I thought they were going to set up to be like the Mr. Joshua, the Gary Busey from the first one, because he's also like a vet and he's a little crazy. But it went the other way, where Riggs is kind of, I guess, spoiler alert, Riggs is kind of trying to help him. No, that's the perfect time to have an enemy where this is Ridge. This is the doppelganger of Ridge, the flip side of the coin to Riggs, where Riggs is a good guy and this guy's an evil son of a bitch. That's where you should have went with that.
But the difference is that this is television and not movies. This is Riggs sympathizing with that soldier, because this other guy was a soldier and he had
I get that. I understand that. I'm just saying, if you wanted to do that as a regular cop show, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. But don't call the show Lethal Weapon. Lethal Weapon isn't supposed to be, well, not say supposed to be, but Lethal Weapon in the past has never been that. Lethal Weapon, it seems like they want a cash grab on the Lethal Weapon name, but not give us Lethal Weapon. If you're going to give us Lethal Weapon, give us fucking Lethal Weapon. Give us crazy action scenes where Murtaugh has to stop Riggs from killing everybody. I don't mean like crash a car through a door. I mean like literally snap necks. In Lethal Weapon 1, he's walking through a nightclub just breaking people's necks, shooting people in the face. Like, and Murtaugh's like, calm down. You know, that's Lethal Weapon. And the part you're talking about where it's the PTSD thing is fine. It's just, we haven't got an arch nemesis yet. We don't have any. It's just a procedural. Lethal Weapon is better than a procedural show. If you want to have a procedural show, just make a procedural show. Just don't put Riggs and Murtaugh are horrible police officers. They're not good enough to be on a procedural show to solve crimes. The way they solve crimes are, one, put their badges in their glove compartments and kill everyone. Two, put their badges in their glove compartment and kill everyone. Three, put their badges in their glove compartment. They never follow the law when they do their crime. Four. Yeah.
Four.
A fight jet lead to the death on a dock. Shoot them with an AK-47 and, to death. Turn. That's not legal. All that shit they did was illegal.
Yes. But I don't know, like, okay, so we're never going to get Lethal Weapon 5. I know Mel was trying to make his big comeback this year with some movie I saw a trailer of that I don't even remember the title of at this point. I just knew it was Mel, and I'm like, oh, hey, look, it's Mel. He looks halfway decent, because I've seen Mel Gibson twice.
He was good in that.
In the past 2 or 3 years, when he was the villain in The Expendables 3, and
Bloodfather, I think it's called.
And this film trailer that of the movie that I don't even remember that it was.
It's okay. It was kind of a fringy, fringy movie.
Okay, there you go. So it's one of those things where this is 2016, folks. unless they're going to get Mel and Danny back into lethal shape.
They don't need to make a five.
There's no way we're getting a five. There's just no way. There's just absolutely no way. Everybody's moved on. As much as everyone probably hates
family,
Lethal
fine.
Weapon 4,
perfect,
for me,
perfect ending.
It
I agree.
Ended on a good note. You know, are you all friends? No, we're family. That's a perfect way, perfect way to end that franchise at that time of when it was happening, and that was in 1998. So that was, you know, X number of years ago now. Now, flash forward to this year, and what I like about the show in the first five episodes is that they are taking little bits and pieces of the film stuff. They're taking without ruinly, ladies and gentlemen, Fox is not out to ruin your childhood with the Lethal Weapon TV series. They're not going to ruin the first four films. You can go back and you can watch those, okay? But what they're taking here to me is they're taking bits and pieces of what's in the movies to put in the show with these new cast members, these somewhat new characters, because
this is pretty much, I think, other than the heart attack, everything's identical.
Tiny details that are, and I think the other change was in the movies, his youngest was not a baby. But anyway, they do that in the TV series here because of what happens to Riggs. And Riggs, they do, obviously, since you said as he is the titular character, he's supposed to be the lethal weapon. He comes from Texas, and his wife got, you know, tractor-trailered, crashed into, and she died, and her and his unborn child passed away. So they're taking bits and pieces, which I like, without essentially insulting what happened in the other movies. Like,
yeah.
In Lethal Weapon 2, we find out that it's Arian or whatever the hell his name is. That was the one that ordered the hit on Riggs' wife in Lethal Weapon 2 or whatever else. So that's what I like about this is they can spot take things. Like if you look at episode 5, Spilt Milk, it has, minus Joe Pesci.
Sadly, I think that episode was going really well until that
pool dive.
It didn't make any sense to me because I'm like, why are you jumping out of, why don't you just throw it out of the window.
Oh, come
What's
on.
The point of shooting it? It's about to go off in 2 seconds anyway. I don't.
Well,
so throw it out and have Ridge shoot it.
He couldn't throw it.
Why are you throwing it up and then jumping off?
There, so
that part I understand. It's a nitpicky thing, but I just didn't. I think the episode was going really well, and then that was kind of like pulled me out of it a little bit. And that's what I'm saying. It's kind of like.
Yeah.
There's no way they're surviving that jump. And yes, I know. They jumped out of a window in the other one, but it wasn't from that damn high. They're at the top of like a freaking skyscraper, I think, in this one. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one thing in this series. It's one thing it freaks me out every time I watch it. And it is specifically with episode 5 of Lethal Weapon here in season 1, the roof shots. I am such a height guy when it comes to, oh my God, there's no way. If I have to look straight down, even if I have to watch a television show where the camera's pointed straight down or straight up,
watch the walk with Joseph Gordon-Levitt where they're like,
watching it,
it's like IMAX, him walking
but
across.
But Riggs walking. No. No, thank you. Yeah. So, but Riggs walking across the building, sitting on top of the building, Roger, just no. One of the other of the five episodes, episode 4, There Goes the Neighborhood. I love this episode because it gives us more into Roger's life. Like, yes, Riggs is the main character. We want to follow his story, but we want to really follow both of them and see how their lives intersect with each other. And episode 4 was entitled, as I said, There Goes the Neighborhood. It's all about Roger and how he moved out to a suburb and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But he goes back to the Pop's Barbershop. I'm sorry. That's a bad joke. Bad Harlem joke, folks. Good old Pop's Barbershop. We'll talk about that next week, folks. But essentially, he goes back to the city barbershop and takes his son RJ and has this whole thing, and then obviously Riggs and the violence and everything else comes into the neighborhood. And I just love how Raj is like, "No, this is not supposed to happen."
That episode to me, that was when I kind of—that's when I kind of got a little angry, is because I got angry at the. Okay, remember the first time, and I'm allowed to go back to the movies because they're adapting the movie. You remember in the first movie, the scene where Roger first meets Riggs. Roger runs at Riggs from like 10 feet away without Riggs even knowing, and Riggs takes him down. And that's where you get the "I'm too old for this," you know, line. This scene in this episode, Roger punches Riggs in the face, and Riggs just takes it. I'm just like, wait, right there, I was like, okay, this is not Riggs. This is just a guy with the name Riggs. There's no person punching Riggs in the face unless, you know, it's Gary, it's Mr. Joshua, or Jet Li. There's no way that's happening.
Yeah.
I gotta know, Raj. I gotta know. Raj, I gotta know. I gotta
find out how he did that thing with
that
the gun.
That frantic. The thing about it is, I didn't even mind when they made him from Texas. I minded where they don't accentuate the Beretta, because I think Lethal Weapon did more sales for the Beretta than any NRA Charlton Heston commercial ever did. I mean, if you watch the first Lethal Weapon, him shooting that the happy, have a nice day, that sold a billion Berettas. That was the first time I've ever seen one in a movie, really, that was showcased. And I didn't like the first episode because he's using like a revolver or whatever. But yeah, I didn't mind him being from Texas. I just want him to be more homicidal. That, or at least when shit goes down. When shit goes down in this show, and when shit goes down in these movies, there's two different Riggses. When Riggs in the movie, when shit goes down, it's stone-faced. He's in Mad Max mode where his eyes are just blatantly wide open and he's just murdering bitches. And in this one, he's like cracking jokes and stuff. I'm like, nah. When Riggs is fighting somebody, it's on. And think of any fight you've ever seen Riggs in these movies. When the guy stabs, the guy who killed his wife throws a dagger in his thigh. He is not telling any jokes. It's all about murder. That's all it is. When he's fighting Joshua on the front lawn, breaking every law of police ethics ever, he's not telling jokes. He's trying to murder that person.
Yep.
That's what I want. I just want this. And this guy, who's not a bad actor, I've seen him in a couple episodes of the show called Rectify. He's a really good actor, and I know he can do it. Good. It's just that I think they're trying to make it homogenized. It's just, you know, not the they're going for this the Lethal Weapon 4 tone. I want the Lethal Weapon 1 tone. If not, then don't, or a two, at least the Lethal Weapon 2 tone. If you're gonna not do that, just don't call Lethal Weapon. Call it LA Cops, or, you know, Homie the Clown and Private something. I don't know, anything other than Lethal Weapon.
So wait.
Two-tone, there it
is. So wait, if they're going
I'm
for
back.
A
you're black,
weapon,
he's
two-tone,
whack. Let's
would that
go.
Make the colors black and white?
Remember that line? Of the... I'm mad, you're black, he's See? Back, you know. I was thinking about this. They would have done, I mean, there's a show with a guy, and I'm kind of leaning toward my predilections, but imagine if I'm going to recast the show for you, and I'm going to pitch it to you. Let's get ready, all right? Put it now on, and it's going to stay in the family. I'm not going to put it on Fox. I'm putting it on FX. All right?
Okay.
All right? So because now that I've done that, I can literally do any violence I want. If you've seen any show on FX, they're cutting off heads. They're doing everything they want. So I get all the murder I want. Right. I get all the cursing I want. I get all the nudity I want. Everything I want. So everything that from the Lethal Weapon movies, I can still do, which I cannot do on Fox, right? And now I'm not going to use this guy, Clayne Crawford. I'm going to use Timothy freaking Oliphant from Justified as Riggs. Who can play Riggs? Who can play maniacal? Who can also be funny and charming? And if you have any doubt of that, watch Justified. And I'm going to make his partner Michael T. Williams. And I'm going to do the same freaking show. I'm going to make it produced by Brian Fuller. That's a show you'd watch. But I mean, if you want to watch it, it just feels not modern. It feels like the show should have came out in like the 2002s. It should have came out right after Fastlane on a special episode of Fastlane followed by Lethal Weapon. That's what it feels like. It doesn't feel like an actual... with that name comes responsibilities, man. If you don't want those responsibilities, don't call it that. It's almost like they want to have their Kia Kini too. We want to cannibalize the movies by taking what we want and leaving what we don't. but we want you to come because it's called Lethal Weapon, but it's not Lethal Weapon because we're not taking the things that we want and we're going to do whatever the hell we want with it. If you, if that's the case, have some balls and let's make your own brand new show. And we can say, it's the new Lethal Weapon. You can call it that. Don't call it the new Lethal Weapon. Let's say you can promote it as the new Lethal Weapon, but don't just slap a damn bumper sticker on it and say it's Lethal Weapon. It's an insult to me. I don't understand it. It's like making Die Hard a TV show, like, you know, and he's like every week he's in a building. And every week, you know, there's another terrorist. And he doesn't kill him. He kind of like tells jokes and he jumps off a building and it burrows up. And then everybody's fine. Everybody makes it. And he arrests Hans Gruber. That's not Die Hard. This is not. Alan Rickman, my favorite.
May ye rest in peace, Hans Gruber. Oh God! See, I understand where you're coming from, but most general audiences, let's say kids younger than 30 years old or more, you know what I mean? No one, unless they're going to seek out the original Lethal Weapon movies, no one's really like, what's Fox really going after here? Are they going after us who remember the movies and have seen the movies? Or are they going after, with the name, are they going after, hey, you might have remembered this, but this is something all new and all different. Oh, God, I just pulled a Marvel joke out of my ass. Oh, God. the way I approach this show at this point now that we're five episodes in I can't wait to see how different Riggs ends up. Like, they made him a Navy SEAL this time instead of Special Forces or whatever, whatever he was in the original movie. They show us right away and why he needs to relocate to L.A. Because apparently his wife was from there and whatever else. They don't just dangle that for a whole movie and then go into this, you know, the second movie and reveal how or why she was killed or whatever else. So they show that to us right away. They have the 1-2-3 bit a little bit throughout there, but it doesn't really bother me all that much. Like you said, I like their chemistry between Wayans and Crawford, and, you know,
that's fine. Those moments, which are few and far between, are good. When they're on the same page joking against somebody, I like those moments because that kind of seems like Lethal Weapon. It's like, okay, I don't like the captain. I do like the wife. I think this wife, Murtaugh's wife, Trish. This version of Trish is better than the movie version of Trish. The only moment that the movie version of Trish got was that Penn scene in Lethal Weapon 2 where Riggs is sharing a story that he never shares with anybody else in the whole series with Trish in the movie. But that's like the only moment she's ever gotten. The Trish on this show is very, very good. And the relationship between her and Roger, I think, is very, very good. The Roger stuff is fine to me. I just wish they would beef up the Riggs a little bit. Roger is fine because Roger is not really complicated of a character. He's a family man. He's Martin Lawrence in Bad Boys. He just wants to have his family and, you know, I want to retire. I don't want to have to get into violence. Yeah. That's essentially a very easy thing to do. When you're dealing with an old, you know, not old, but like a guy who's coming from doing God knows what overseas as a essentially a military black ops guy like Riggs is, and trying to make him a cop now, that's where you got to really focus your attention to. And it just seems like they're just like, oh, Riggs is wacky. I don't want Riggs to be wacky. I mean, he is wacky. He does some wacky things in the movies, but he's also a murderer. There's no, don't get it twisted. Go ahead. Rewatch all the Lethal Weapons. Riggs from 1-2-4 is a brutal, brutal murderer. And they kind of got rid of that. They kind of like slid that to the side, except for the one episode where he shoots the bank robbers. That was it.
Yes, he is. Well, and again, as you said, this is network television. This is Fox. And while Fox does, out of all the big regular network television networks,
Episode five was a step in the right direction. I would say that.
Et cetera, et cetera. But we haven't really gotten there yet. So again, I'm hoping. Ladies and gentlemen, If I have to pay him to come back, I'll have to, but I'm hoping that you will continue to... It's only... The first season is only going to be 18 episodes. Right. And I know we talked about this a little bit earlier where, you know...
Amazon and FX.
Episodes is just a little bit too long. The 22-episode mark is just a little bit too long. We all wish that network TV would learn from Netflix and FX and Amazon and everybody else with 10 or 13 or whatever. But... After the first 5 episodes, I'm still really stoked to see where this goes because it doesn't infringe on what the movies
I don't think it would
were.
Work. The recasting is necessary.
If
just
they had brought back,
like I said, understand who you're working, who you're dealing with. If you don't want to do that, use the name. If you're using the name, know what you're doing while using the name. If I tell you this is caviar and you eat it, it tastes like chicken. Don't get pissed off when I start freaking out on you. Yeah. You told me it's caviar now. So the thing about and you're talking. What you brought up a good point is that Riggs transitions in the movies. You got to make him dark so at the end of the series he can transition. If he's already comedic, there is no transition. You got to make him a little darker than this guy's. It's okay. You got Exorcist on your damn network, don't you? Is that Fox? I can't even freaking remember at this point. I can't. That works me nothing.
I don't know. I watch all my TV on Hulu and Netflix and stuff. So it's like I don't even know what the last time I watched anything on Fox was probably last year's World Series. I don't know. But it's one of those things where let me ask you this. Do you think now that you're saying this that he needs a point where he should stay dark and needs a turning point to go light?
I think you need Riggs to meet Murtaugh broken. And that's why he met him in the movie. He met him broken. And like the suicide scene comparison. There's a suicide. They cannibalize that part where Mel Gibson got the role of Hamlet because of the suicide scene he did in Lethal Weapon 1, where he pulls the gun with a actual bullet. This is written. He actually put a bullet in a gun and pointed it at his head. And like he was, you know, that whole suicide scene where he's crying and is watching the Bugs Bunny Christmas Carol. It's one of the great Mel Gibson acting moments. And then this one is kind of played where he's, you know, it's okay. It's just not dark enough. It needs to be the push the pale a little bit. And you're right. I think the wife needed to die. The circumstances of Riggs is fine. They just need to get him a little bit more broken. He's too fixed at this point. He's not when Riggs meets Murtaugh in the first movie, he's like, remember the scene where Roger puts a gun in his fucking under his chin? He's broken. Put it in your mouth. Put it in my mind. That's the Riggs you need at this point in the first season. If you would have had him started off really dark,
put it in your mouth.
Right? And by the season finale, he kind of makes a step like he did in the movie. Like it's a step. As the series progresses and he gets lighter, I can understand that because that's exactly what the movies did. But here he comes in all, hey, what's up, Raj? Hey, it's darker than that. Darker. Mm-hmm. If they're in a room and Riggs and Murtaugh's in there and they're surrounded by guys, I, in the movies, was never Riggs is going to kill like 3 of these guys. And the show, I'm like, Riggs is going to get his ass kicked. There's no way he's going to make it out of here. The episode where he's in a bar and he gets beat up, I got pissed off too. I'm like, there's no way Riggs is getting beat up in a bar. There is no way. He would kill all of those people. All those people would get dropped. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Five episodes in. Let's fix it. Yeah. Fix it. Hey, hello. Fix it.
I mean, like I said, we're only the first 5 episodes in.
Yo, Jordana Brewster. Jordana Brewster. Bye.
What could they do?
Have a good time,
though,
Jordana Brewster.
To get him to go darker, you can't. He's already had his wife and unborn child taken away from him. What else can you take away from this guy?
If you really want to find a way to get him darker and make him kind of get. So it kind of past the point of no return now. So this is going to be a grasping at straw situation. But if you kill the one person that's trying to fix him, then that would that would lead to a relapse of him being dark. That's the only thing I can see. But at this point, he's chumming around. It's just this. No, man. Yeah. I want the finale in the episode 5. I just right up to the point where they jumped out the window. I was like, okay, he's been very dark this episode. I was like, that's where he needs to be. He needs to be in that headspace for when he's dealing with criminals. That's where he needs to be, at least for this first couple, the first 5 episodes. Like, if they would have flipped this, man, if the first 5 episodes he just been a dick and he keeps getting into trouble and he keeps killing people, because I thought they were going to do that when the captain was like, you guys keep blowing up the city, you know, you got a budget here. If it was more like, Riggs, this is the 5th guy you killed this week. Because that was the first movie. Riggs, stop shooting people. And then it starts progressing. Yeah, that's what you need to do with this character. Or don't call it Lethal Weapon. I keep hitting that. If you're not gonna do Lethal Weapon, don't do Lethal Weapon. If you are gonna do what you're doing right now, don't get pissed off when fans of Lethal Weapon are like, this ain't fucking Lethal Weapon. You're just trying to get nostalgic money and then fool people into thinking this is what Lethal Weapon always was, when it was not. It was not. It was a psychological broken cop finding family with a guy who was afraid of him for most of the series. So is that how it goes?
Yep.
Spider-Man, before you go out there, Peter.
As Stan Lee often says, folks, with great lethal weapons comes lethal responsibility. Something like that. Oh, shit. That's funny. All right, folks. I know we've kind of been all over the place here. The first 5 episodes, I enjoyed each one for what it was. I thought it was a story building point, and I'm probably going to stick with the series, just to see what happens if, you know, if they, in, I'm sure I'm saying except what he's thinking and, you know, if they screw it up music, anymore, but, you know, I really don't think they're screwing up, because I see this in the films as two separate things, because they, like you said, yes. Well, the music. Okay, let's talk about the music for a minute. The main theme is not done by, obviously, Michael Kamen has been long since gone, sadly. That's one thing that I'm just like, can we please bring back the original TV opening credit type scene? Like, I don't want to sit here and watch, you know, like a Family Matters opening credit where everybody's smiling. But, like, I want more than 3.5 seconds.
That's why, like, the Netflix shows, because they have those,
like,
kind of,
I enjoy,
no, they don't show characters.
Little,
they have an opening music montage. Not montage, but, like, they have something. There's something
really
there.
Cool,
the show's just like, Lethal
thing,
Weapon! And then it starts.
Like,
what? And it's not just that show. It's long, every show on network television, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, wait, what? I mean, yeah, it's everything.
NCIS,
it's Blacklist, it's all that kind of stuff. You know, you look at most police procedurals, since technically this is a police procedural. You look at, you know, something like, well, you know, NCIS has a full theme, and all the NCISs have a full
Magnum
theme. I'm actually in the middle of going to Los Angeles at this point. I love that show. That's my favorite
18
one of now. But anyway. You know, you look at all the old classic action shows.
Oh, Phil Collins.
You look at
Phil,
you know,
Collins. Hello, my hometown.
Magnum,
what's going on
whether
here?
Whether it's Hawaii 5-0, whether it's A-Team, Knight Rider, Airwolf, all that's Miami Vice. Hello, the ultimate, the pinnacle of a cop procedural from the 80s in Miami Vice. You look at that opening theme, and then you look at this, and it's like, I want more of that. Like, I need a little bit more of that. And I know people are going to sit there and say, oh, well, they only do the small stuff now for a title card because they want to get more show out of it. Most of these shows without commercials are anywhere between...
Look at the one of the most popular shows on television right now. Game of Thrones' opening title sequence, I think, is a minute and a half, and it's great.
An hour?
It's amazing.
You know, let me look here. And
why
see.
Is it not fair? Huh? What's up?
Uh-oh. That's not fair.
Even Arrow kind of and Flash, though they copy each other, they all have the same kind of opening narration, but they show a montage. They even the CW shows all do that. Supergirl does that. Flash does that. All those do that, and that's kind of broadcast. Hey, don't hate on Game of Thrones, man.
Well,
I can't beat on that. I love Sesame Street Bear.
Sit here and take Game of Chairs. I'm sorry, that's all I can.
South Park has one.
I've never seen it.
I'm trying to think. Hannibal kind of had like this artistic, almost like Daredevil, where the blood was pouring on the guy's face. It was very artistic. But, do something.
All right, so
title card by itself is lazy.
Yep. Yeah. So, looking at the first five episodes of Lethal Weapon on Hulu, each episode without commercials, episode one was 46, episode two was 44, 43, 43, and 43. So, you're looking at roughly anywhere between 42 and 46 minutes of a show minus ads, and then that 13, 14, 15 minutes of ads. So...
How about you tighten the script up? Because there's a lot of filler in these episodes where it's like, we didn't need this scene. What is this scene for? We didn't need Roger, unless this guy Denzel or Desmond becomes some kind of creepy character in the show. We don't need that scene. What is that scene for? That scene felt like we have this great actress playing Trish. We got to give her another scene, so we'll just give her this scene. But it has nothing to do with the show. I guess they had to write it in. Well, Roger knows a lawyer. Roger knows 1,000 lawyers. It's like he works in the police department. So yeah, I think that was a filler. Daredevil reference, folks. That was a Daredevil reference.
Roger knows a lawyer. I wonder if
His name is Matt something. I don't.
Sorry.
Real Daredevil guy. I don't know if we could get him on the payroll.
Yes. I know a really good lawyer who practices out of Hell's Kitchen. So. Yes. Matt. Yeah. All right. So I know this first.
That's what happens.
Five
you burn me on your show. I
devolve
the show.
But that's essentially what it is.
Nonsense.
We're
going
to sit here and talk about the first five episodes of a show. And I think we've done more of the comedy angle here than actually talking about each.
Mockery of
justice. Hey, there you go. That works. Oh, God. Now, damn you. Now, all I'm thinking of is Transformers. Spare me this mockery of justice.
This part has been edited. Ha ha ha. You'll never know what was actually here.
Well, folks, we're still experiencing technical difficulties. Actually, this episode was recorded during the technical difficulties aspect of Pamela Call Recorder. It actually cut me off when I was giving my information. Yeah, I had to edit around it. For DJ and Simplistic Reviews, go to simplisticreviews.net. You can check out at SimpleTweeters, I believe is what it is, and his is at TryingToBeDJV. Check out their new stuff, as I said, on simplisticreviews.net. I'm, of course, at TF2andMike. Hopefully next time, Remote Control will be... audio issue free. Trying my best here, folks. So keep on fighting over that remote control and tune in next week when we talk about Luke Cage from Netflix.
Thank you for tuning into Remote Control. There are several ways to get in contact with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can email us, feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can leave us feedback in iTunes. Follow us on Twitter @geekcastradio. You can become a fan of us on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed the latest episode of Remote Control and wish that you'll tune in next. next time to hear what TV topic we'll be talking about. Get those remotes ready because we are all remote controlled.